I'm going to take your Bibles and turn to 1 Peter 5, 8, 9. One of the things that sometimes the Lord does, I was thinking about in the Sunday school lesson, and this kind of will pick up their part of it in our lesson today, is that King David, who had become the most powerful king in all the area, had to bow before or make a deal with the king of Jabez. And of course, Jabez, Israel had come in there and took it over, and David was the king, and he had to buy that altar, that threshing floor to make an altar, and David had to humble himself before this man who used to be the king of that city. And so there's a lot of things, times that when we go wrong, that God humbles us, and usually it's dramatic, or at least in our own sight. If you look at verses 5th chapter 8 and 9, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Let's pray together, please. And most gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank Thee for Thy blessings You give us in Christ Jesus and Your mercies that are everlasting. We think about all the times, O Lord, that You've delivered us and kept us from temptation, and how that, Lord, You've delivered us out of the hand of the devil more than one time, O Lord. And we just thank Thee for that, and give us wisdom that we can see the marks and the cunningness of the lion, and that he, as he go about seeking to devour. Let us not be the weak one left behind, O Lord. Strengthen us in Christ Jesus and knowing your mercies that are everlasting, and all things that you might be magnified and glorified in the midst of an evil and wicked generation. And Lord, let us not give in to temptation. We thank thee for your mercy, Spirit of truth, that you would have mercy upon those without Christ, that you'd be pleased to save and edify the saints. We thank thee and praise pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The enemy is loose and is not bound. Now, some have taken the passage in the gospel where it speaks of binding the strong man of the household in order to spoil his house. And some says, well, the devil's bound and he's so on and so forth. But we find from the rest of the Bible he's not bound. He's not, and he's out of loose. He's looking for whom he may devour. And yes, the Lord bound him that he could take us out, the elect, and if you will, he did. And he made provisions for us that we would not be left in his camp ever after we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. However, we are given to temptation, and some say, well, I don't know why we should pray to lead us not into temptation, as if you say, well, the Lord wouldn't lead us in temptation. And if you look at that, it's trials and tribulations. And let me say to you, just like David, we got out of sorts. God's going to open the door there that might cause us to go through that we might be humiliated or we might be judged for the things that we've been in. The devil means slanderer. Satan means adversary. And he who is our accuser, adversary, the serpent, dragon, alluring lion, who can be transformed into an angel of light. And these are some of the descriptions the Bible gives about our foe, our enemy. Although he is great in power, he can be resisted, defeated, and overcome by God's grace. We must go out in the battle, and having put on the whole armor of God, always remember that he is a defeated foe. And we need to have an adversary that would, if you will, that would deceive us, trying to make us believe that he does not exist or that he's more powerful than he is. And so we have both sides of that. I know those who call themselves Christians doesn't believe that the devil exists or that he has no power upon earth and he's bound and they don't have to worry about him. And then others think he has more power on earth than he does than Jesus does. And Jesus controlled heaven. He controls the rest of it. And so, all of course, both of these things are wrong. He's out and about, if you will, and he's seeking who he may devour. And he uses a lion in this description. If you know anything about lions, they look for the weak of those that are separated from the group, and the sick, the lame, and those are the ones that the lion goes for. And so there is safety, if you will, being in the Lord's church. There's safety being around Christians. There's safety in these things, but when we get out in the world, there's not too much safety because there we are. We're by ourselves. You say, oh, no, there's people all around me, but look who's all around you. We're not in the group. We're not in the pack, if you will. We're not in God's group, if you will, and we're out there, if you will, open to all these temptations that come our way. When the last time you sinned, what kind of motions or what did it take to get you in that situation? Was that temptation first of thinking of something, you know, and then following through, and that next thing you know, you step in a trap. And it, you know, it says in it mentions in the scripture that that you know, even the birds, if they see you setting a trap, that they'll not get in it. But sometimes we see Satan set the trap, and we get in it anyway. And so we are, if we're not careful, we'll walk into a trap. We'll think, well, I'll go so far and no further, and next thing you know, we've gone further than we planned to go. And it always costs more than we plan to pay. And so, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Speaking of that wicked one, Christ is more excellent in power than Satan and all his army of fallen angels, both in heaven and in earth. We want to look at this morning. We have an adversary, the devil. The children of God are resist the wicked one. The victory is ours in Christ Jesus. We have an adversary, and his name is Satan. And if you will, we're speaking of him as the devil, the accuser. The devil can appear as an angel of light in 2 Corinthians 11:14, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into the angel of light. And it goes on to say his ministers can be transformed, you know, into angels of light, if you will, or ministers of light. And we see them all around us. And sometimes we find them amongst us, that they appear to be like us. They appear to be preaching the truth, you know, and somewhere down the line is like I mentioned last Sunday morning, where you can tell who a prophet is, that everything he says comes true, and if it doesn't come true, then he wasn't a prophet. But there was another scenario where everything he said come true, and then he said, let's go follow other gods. Well, usually our false prophets or false teachers or false preachers don't go quite that far, that quick. They actually are going that direction, but they just tweak a little doctrine a little bit. They tweak this doctrine, tweak that doctrine, and then said, doesn't it seem like to you? And then they try to use human reason on the scriptures and see if we can reason this thing out. And next thing you know, you don't even need to be saved to read the scripture, because you can just figure it out yourself. You don't need the Spirit of God to teach you, to guide you, and direct you in the Word of God. And they lead us into the, if you will, destruction. And this usually is very subtle. And a lot of times people will argue to your face till they're red in the face about these tweak doctrines that are, if you will, ungodly. Eliphaz was deceived by such as a night vision. We mentioned that before in Job 4:13-17. Now, he thought it was a vision of the angel of light or the vision from God, and yet it wasn't. And he ended up being just like the rest of his friend, condemning Job for that which he hadn't done. And he was sure, though, because he had a vision. And in that vision, he used that to bolster, to say, it's absolutely, positively, then we know that Job is a wicked person. There in 2 Corinthians 11:14, And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into the angel of light. Therefore is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed into the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. I say again, let no man think me a fool, if otherwise, yet as a fool receive me, that I may boast myself a little. Now these ministers, you know, were saying, well, Paul, he's just not really an apostle. Paul, he's just not a good preacher. Paul, you know, he's mealy-mouthed. When he's out there writing his letters, man, they're really bold. But when he's here talking to us, they're not that bold. And these ministers were trying to destroy the reputation of Paul. For what reason? So they could teach their Judaizing ways, if you will, that they could bring corruption and destruction into the church at Corinth. And, of course, that church was one of the worst ones, if you will, as we read in the Scriptures, that Paul was dealing with. And the point I'm making is, this is the way they do. They tear down God's men. They tear down the Bible. They tear down, if you will, spiritual reasoning and replace it with ungodliness. We see his work in Zechariah 3:1-3, and speaking there of Joshua, the high priest of that time, and there in Zechariah 3, we're not going to read the whole section, and he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. And the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuked thee, O Satan, even the Lord that has chosen Jerusalem rebuked thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him and unto him. He said, behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I have clothed thee with a change of raiment. And so this is an allusion. We're not going to get into all it's speaking about there, but it's a good example of what it was when we were saved, if you will, that we was opposed by Satan, and Jesus is the one that set us free from that. And Jesus is the one that calls us to be clothed with new clothing, and he is the one, if you will, that put a new spirit within us and caused us to be born again. And the devil resists all these attributes, all the, if you will, of the Lord Jesus Christ. He tries to stay between us and witnessing for the Lord Jesus Christ and those that are being witnessed to. He tries to stand against them, that they not receive the truth and the Word of God, and that they be filled with doubt or wonderment, or they would look at the character of the person, you know, And someone I heard one time, a man witnessed to him, and he was not the best dressed person, and he was not the best mannered person, and he was not the best well spoken person. And the guy said, who does he think he is? Try to tell me anything. And I thought, well, he's resisted the word of truth. This man was telling him and speaking to him the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And because the man was not dressed good enough or didn't have a good enough vocabulary, he just said, who does he think he is? Trying to tell me anything. As if to say, I'm much smarter than him. I'm a better class than he is. And look down upon him as if he's nothing. And that, if you will, that Christianity didn't mean anything. Man is easily persuaded by their spiritual father there in the book of Matthew 8:43. And just talking about the things of cost, I think some of the things that it costs me to be a Christian, I had to give up my sins, had to get rid of that sin debt, and Jesus took that away from me, and that was part of the cost. I couldn't luxury around and sit around, if you will, in the wickedness of the world and be satisfied. Separated me from my wicked companions, and if you know anything about wicked companions, if you're living for Jesus, they don't want to be around you. You don't have to say to one person, well, I'm a Christian now, and I can't have any fellowship, or I can't do anything with you anymore because I'm a Christian. Somebody said, that just sounds so bad. I said, you just live for Jesus, and the Lord take care of the rest. And that's absolute truth. He says, when they separate themselves from you, they're in the book of Luke, and that we're to leap and rejoice, if you will, or leap for joy because that the Lord has set us free. There in 8:43 of John, I hope you're in John 8:43. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my voice, you are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Now, why didn't they believe Jesus? Because he was telling the truth. Those of their father, the devil, and they believed the liar before they would believe the Lord Jesus Christ was telling the truth. Every time you lie, you're not following Jesus. You're following the devil. You say, oh, no, I'm not following the devil. I put that behind me. I have nothing to do with him. You say, well, just my evil nature. And we can blame a lot of things on that old nature, but it's stimulated by our former spiritual guide. All are born blind and follow Satan. They're in Romans 3:10-12, which is familiar to us, as it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's not one that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. They have all gone out of the way. They have together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. And so we know that, if you will, that by nature we followed Satan from our birth up, and he was our spiritual father, and we naturally done the things that our spiritual father does. And he said, well, I never murdered anybody, but we know in the scripture when you hate someone, and this is talking about a hate, when you hate someone, God counts it murder, and especially when it's a brother or sister in Christ. Have you ever hated a brother or sister in Christ? He said, it's the old nature. Let me tell you, there's somebody fanning that flame. I mean, just sitting there antagonizing. You ever have a thought about the things that you go through when you fall into sin, all the different steps it takes to get you there and to keep you there for a time? I mean, there's a lot there that we, if you will, we're falling to the temptation of our adversary. The red dragon is mentioned in Revelation 12:4, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. Now, Satan's not by himself. He's got his ministers. He's got his angels. He's got all these things that he uses to defeat God's people, or try to defeat God's people. And sometime we give in. Sometime we, if you will, we capitulate. Sometime when people are married, and they and in the marriage, you know, there's that constant pull and take in a marriage. I was thinking about my son and some of the things he went through and the things that it cost him. And the point I'm making, any time that we're in a situation where the devil can get an opening, then he does. He'll take advantage of us every time. He is accuser of the brethren. There in Job, Job 1:9. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made a hedge about him, about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed him the work of his hands, and his substance and is increased, and in the land. Put forth thy hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. Now, Satan pretty sure on this, wasn't he? Because, after all, Job was just a human being. And you know, Job said, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away, blessed be the name of the Lord. And then, As we remember there in Job 2, 4 and 5, and Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath, he give for his life, put forth thy hand now, and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he's in thy hand, but save his life. So he said, skin for skin. He didn't curse you because you took all his children. He didn't curse you because you you took all his possession. And his wife, you know, was on the devil's side. She said, curse God and die. You know, I mean, that was her encouragement to her husband. And there's Job, you know, and Satan says, skin for skin. You just touch him. And when you put your touch on him, and he sees it's a death blow, and we know the whole book of Job, how that all laid out. And Satan tried his best to destroy Job's confidence in God. Now, we know Job has questioned many things. He didn't know why this was happening, and a lot of time that's the way we are. Why did this happen to me? We're just trying to figure it out and all this, that, and the other, but... let me say to you, if you're safe in the arms of the Lord, you will not fall away, fall out. The Lord may have to take you, but He will not allow you to fall away from Him. Nonetheless, if you will, we know that Job succeeded. Every time, I always say this, every time I think, Job, you've had it. Now, you know, he just gets on why. If I just had a daysman here, and I talk to the Lord, I'd get this all straightened out if I just had a daysman. And, of course, Jesus is our daysman. He's our mediator between God and us. But Job didn't have one. He was the head of his house, so therefore he had been the priest of his house. This before, I believe, before God gave the law to Moses, and it might have been after. I know a lot of people want it after, so... we'll not argue about that point, but in other words, he was the priest of his home, and he was trying to get an audience and couldn't. He said, I look here and he's not there, and I look there and he's not there. And then the next thing you know, and he says, I know I shall behold him in my flesh. I shall see him with my eyes. He's speaking about his Redeemer that will stand upon the earth one day. Satan lost that struggle, if you will. And God won that because of His amazing grace that allowed Job to stand. We see Revelation 12:10. He is the accusers of the brethren. Revelation 12:10. And it says, and I heard a loud voice saying, in heaven now is the come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of his testimony and that they loved their lives not unto death. And this is the case also with Job. The children of God resist the wicked one. We must submit to God and resist the devil. There in James 4:7, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from him. We're told in the scriptures that we read in our text that we resist him. And resisting is not capitulation, it's standing against evil. It's standing against wickedness. It's standing against, if you will, just let your mind wander in all evil and wicked things. That is, you're to put a stop to it. You're to put, if you will, you'd put up the barrier, just like you was protecting your family from lions outside your home. And you'd do everything you could to fortify that house where those lions just can't jump through. And that's exactly the way we're to resist the devil, in the same manner, with the same haste, with the same, if you will, ideal. It is that which needs to be done immediately. It's not something that needs to be done next week, next day, this afternoon, or tomorrow. It is something that we must be prepared to do at all times. The lions go about. I know they can roar, but they can lay in the grass for a long time. And they can sneak. If you ever watch some of them, you know, they just keep sneaking and sneaking and sneaking and sneaking. And next thing you know, they pounce. And let me say to you, when they pounce, because one of the reasons that they're so easily, somebody's prey so easily caught, because not expecting him. Just not expecting him at all. And remember, I was talking about David earlier and how he numbered the people, and we have two accounts, you know, in Chronicles and in Kings, and I believe it's Chronicles where it says that devil resisted, or Satan resisted him, or the devil resisted him, I guess which one is used, and meaning he led David into numbering the people. And, of course, God allowed it because, and we're not getting all the calls there, but the point I'm making is that if he'd been on guard and his pride wasn't so high, he'd never numbered them. And the people that were destroyed, and we know that God had a reason for that. Resist the devil by being encouraged by the Lord. There in Hebrews 2:14, in Hebrews 2:14, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that hath the power over death, that is the devil. And so, if you will, Jesus has defeated him. He's defeated foe, as we had mentioned earlier. The monitors the motions of the sin, still vibrate in the old man. He still has strength in us, if you will, through the old man, this, if you will, our flesh. And the appetites of the flesh, the desires of the flesh, the lust of the flesh, all these can be inflamed. And the point of James is, God don't tempt you. God is going to tempt you with evil, but the devil does all the time. I don't say all 24/7, but we are tempted of him, and if you will, when we lay the snare. I've seen so many Christians over the years get trapped. And before you know it, they're in divorce, they're in this, they're in that, you know, they're bankrupt or whatever it might be because they fell into a trap, if you will, set for them. If they'd been diligent, if they'd been watching and looking for the enemy, they would have not fallen into that. Resist the devil, resisting desires of the flesh. For when you were in the flesh, the motions of sin, which were by the law, did work in our members, bringing forth fruit unto death, Romans 7:5. And so the motions of sin are still there. Some things people say, I used to say some things, and I have since I thought that's just not a good thing to say. You know, I mean, we let our eyes wander where they shouldn't wander, make statements to one another, but we should never make. I've heard Christian men sitting around a table and making comments on some beautiful girl or something or another. You say, well, preacher, there's nothing wrong with that. Oh, no, there's nothing wrong with that. Committing adultery with your eyes, there's nothing wrong with that. And desiring something that doesn't belong to you, or you have no, if you will, have no right to, and all the things that we go through. And I don't know about women because I'm not a woman, and I'm sure that women do similar things if not careful, you know, and all the things of liberation that we have in our time, the things that women do now that they used not to do. And before you know it, somebody's committing adultery or some kind of fornication or something or another. And we just say, well, you know, they just, the way things happen. Well, let me say to you, the enemy's out there to touch the flesh. He can't touch your inner man. He cannot in any way touch that, but he can touch that flesh and fire up those desires and lusts that lie therein. And you say, well, I don't think that people give, you know, a good Christian wouldn't give them that. Just look at the divorce rate among Christians. Just look at the affairs or different things in adultery that's been brought to light, not counting those things which are not. Let me say, we're subject to the same lust that we had before. Only thing now, we have the strength and power of God to overcome those things by the grace of God. But when you let your eyes, you know, what did Job say? He said, I made a covenant with my eyes not to look upon a maid. I believe it's 30th chapter, if I'm not mistaken. It may not be, but I think it's 30. I think it's the same passage where he said he didn't didn't look to the moon, didn't kiss his hand. And I think he made in the same chapter, he says he made a covenant with his eyes not to look upon a maid. You say, well, he just didn't have good enough willpower. And if you think you do, you're stupid. I just tell you, you are. You say, well, I'm old now. Well, it doesn't make any difference. If you've got the flesh, no matter what it is, if you will, you need to resist. Yes, some things are easier to resist when you're older, and other things maybe not so much. The motion of sin will vibrate in the old man. There in James 1:3, this is one I referred to earlier, in James 1:13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own flesh and enticed. The devil does a lot of enticing. Now, it might not look like the devil. You know, here carry some drugs across the border. We'll give you, and you need money. You know, I'll give you $1,000. How many people, I don't know about Christians, I don't know how many have done that, but how many people just falling for that? And they said, well, $1,000, just take us across there. And, you know, the point I'm making is this is the subtlety of the devil. It doesn't look like a, trick. It doesn't look like a temptation. It doesn't look like the devil. If you think the devil looks like this, that, or the other, it doesn't look like it. But still yet, he leads us into temptation. He draws us away, entices us to sin. And if we're not careful, we give in to that. And so we're not to blame God for our temptation, but we are to blame ourselves for giving in to the enticements of the Satan. The word entice means to arouse someone's interest in something by clever measure, lure, entice, beat egg, to make sinning look attractive, or to make sin taste good, lunita, to trap. And Psalms 91:3, surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. And so he's looking about to trap, to, if you will, to take hold of and to destroy. So to make sinning look attractive. You say, well, you know, I'm pretty strict on this. And some people talk about, you know, they don't wear makeup, they don't do this, they don't do that, they don't do this, that, and the other. And what is written on the forehead? And not always. Now, I'm not saying always. Usually the big letter there called P-R-I-D-E. I'm perfect and you're not. Look at you sinful people. You're wearing makeup. I'm not, so I'm holier than thou. I am better than you are. We don't drive a car, we drive a wagon and have horses, or we do this or we do that and so on and so forth. And what is that? That's sin. If there's something God tells us not to have, then we're not to have it. But I looked one time and said, should we use horses and not cars? I didn't find it. I know that's foolishness. Jeremiah 23:28, the prophet has said a dream. Let him tell a dream, and he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat? Now, we preached on the last Lord's Day, but again, if you will, when we think about the dreams and different things that may come in our life, we're to discount them. You say, well, they might be from the Lord. I can guarantee you this is from the Lord. Absolutely. 100%. And if your dreams don't agree with God, now, sometimes you can go to the Bible and make the Bible agree with your dreams. But that's not what we're supposed to do. We're to go and receive what God has given to us there. Many will come with doctrines of devils. There, we know in Timothy. 1 Timothy 4:1 and 2. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, the last and latter times shall... Some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devil, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. I was asking a friend of mine, a preacher friend of mine, we was not too long, neither one is very long in the ministry, and we seeing what this guy was doing. I mean, he's leading souls to hell. He was taking people's money. He was deceiving them. I mean, and it wasn't one of those deals where he's so deceived he thought he was telling the truth. He's out there to make the money. It's quite evident by the different things he said. And I thought, how could a person in good conscience do that? Well, the Scripture says that he has a seared conscience. So it's almost like a sociopath. I mean, the more he can take, the more he'll give. And people will follow him, if you will, instead of following the Lord Jesus Christ. These seducing spirits have used doctrines and lies to entice, to separate, to make people think they're wiser in the Scriptures than they are, or that they have secret wisdom and secret knowledge. That's what the Gnostics did. That's what organizations like the Masonry do. They take you in and say, we got something nobody else knows, and you come in and we'll tell you the secrets. And here they come in to get those secrets, and first thing they have to do is knock on the door. And he said, who's there? Now, with the title, should I tile east and west and so on? We won't go through all that. And he says, who is that? And he says, a pilgrim seeking light. Now, here's a born-again Christian, been saved by God's amazing grace, and he's standing out a door and said, I need light. And they come in. He said, come on in. They get him in there. And before you know it, he goes through all these different processes, different levels, and take him to this little altar, and he takes that hoodwink off of him, and say, masonry light. So he's given up Jesus' light for masonry light. Would a Christian do that? I know some that said they was duped into it, and they did that, and they repented and got out of it. The point I'm making is sometimes friends, family, are used by that wicked one to draw us into things that we, if you will, should not be in. Do we need any light besides Jesus Christ? Do we need another light? Devil's got all kinds of them. You just go on the web now and you can just find all kinds of lights up there. But all of them are darkness and not light. The doctrine may be true doctrine, but excluding other true doctrine makes it false. So I believe in the virgin birth, but not the blood redemption. You either take Jesus as a whole package, or you don't take Him at all. He is who the Scripture says He is. That is the one that we believe in. We believe what God says about His Son. We just don't say, well, He didn't have this or He didn't have that. He lacked this, He lacked that. He didn't lack anything that God said He had. He was not deficient in anything necessary for our salvation. And nothing is said about Him that's a lie. In other words, they don't say, well, you know, from Isaiah, when somebody starts like that, I almost throw up. I do. I get angry. I didn't used to do that. But I see the damage it does, and it just makes me mad. So, well, it's young maid there in Isaiah and Matthew over here, you know, and it could be young maid there, you know. And of course, a young maiden would have been a virgin. She wasn't virgin. What would happen to her? She'd be stoned to death. That was the penalty. If a woman committed adultery, she'd be stoned to death. She'd be taken to her daddy's porch, and they would stone her right there. Of course, the man, too, if he's caught in it. So, if she was not a virgin, she'd be dead. Now, Luke says virgin, and you can look at the Greek and say, oh, well, that's virgin. Now, why would they do such a thing like that? Is trying to make it that Jesus was not born of a virgin. Just like they try to make it that Jesus' blood redemption is not sufficient. Why? Because they're working for the other side. They're not on Jesus' side, they're on the devil's side, and they're doing whatever they can to destroy the gospel of Jesus Christ. No doctrines such as justification, salvation are inclusive unto themselves. It is the doctrine of the Bible that counts. You say, what do you mean by that? You can't take one doctrine and make a religion out of it. If it is not included with the other things that God teaches us in the Word of God, then it's not the truth. If they don't work together, hold together, then it's not of God. God, somebody says, well, the Bible's complicated, you've got to study, you've got to do it. That's absolutely right. Praise God, it's that way. Because it gives you a lot of fail-safes. You can go in the Old Testament and find fail-safes for the gospel, in the New Testament find fail-safes for the gospel. No teaching taken then from the Bible can disagree with the teachings of the Bible. Because if you take something out of the Bible and it doesn't agree with the Bible, then you've taken it out wrong. There's a lot of passages you could go to, and I could say, well, there's a passage that says that you must be circumcised to believe, to be saved. The book of Acts. So I believe I could take that verse and make me a pretty good religion out of that. Only thing is, the Judaizer was saying it. And what it is a quote of what they said, what they were preaching, what they were teaching. It's not condoning what they said. It's not saying that's what was necessary. But how many Christian religions circumcise their boy children because they believe it's biblical? I don't think it's as much today as it used to be, but when I was younger, they took that was needed. And if they'd done it for ceremonial reason and religious reason, it was absolutely wicked. If they did it for health reason, that's a different story altogether. The victory is ours in Christ Jesus. The devil may blind us, but God will give us sight. Just going to read one more passage before we close there in 2 Corinthians 4. Hopefully we just read one more. Let me put it that way. 4:6. For God who commanded the light and to shine out darkness and shine in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Let me start up a little higher. But if our gospel, verse 3, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus, the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Christ, for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts, and give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. He's given us the Holy Spirit. He's put it within, if you will, this earthen vessel. And so every saved person, the devil blinds the eye. You know how we don't have time to go through that, but how that, if you will, the devil blinds the eye. But where does God enter in? You say, well, you have to have ears to hear and hearts to perceive and eyes to see and perceive and so on. But God goes in the heart. God goes on the inner man first. Before you can have those eyes to see and ears to hear, there's got to be a work done. And the Spirit of God goes in, if you will, and we call it the new birth. And then you have ears to hear and eyes to see and hearts to perceive the Word of truth. But before the Spirit of God goes within your heart, you don't have it. It says He blinded the eyes then. You are blind as anybody else until God opened your heart. Just think about it. Why didn't you believe the day before? Why didn't you believe the week before? If you saved later in life, you know, why didn't you believe 5 years ago? Why didn't you believe then instead of the day that you believed? There's something came in. And all of a sudden, I had eyes to see. They's no longer blinded. Had ears to hear. They's no longer blocked. And I had a heart to perceive the word of truth. That is our defense against the wicked one, Satan, devil, adversary, the seeking whom he may devour. He's like a roaring lion. He's out to look and get you or I if he can. We don't need to like be like David, you know, be lifted up in pride and look around and say, well, I bet I have a lot of people in this kingdom now. I bet I had more than Moses had, you know. I believe he knew to do a head count. The devil's going on and telling you, you are great, David. You need to have this information. So you could, when these other kings of these other places come by and see, you could say, well, guess how many we got. Yeah. David suffered. Nation suffered. I often wonder who's the greatest cause of our nation's suffering. The wicked or the saints that have succumbed?